T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I don't know what the other shows are going to pick. We have a format that we are going to implement throughout the course of the show. We think it'll work best for us. We're going to kind of establish the parameters, rules, what makes a great moment in the opening segment. We're going to talk about the greatest moments for the Giants, for the A's, for the Warriors, for the Niners, outside of the major sports. And then we're going to turn it over to the guests. Chris Mad Dog Russo, one of the biggest Giants fans on the planet. He's at 7:30. Carmen Policy, great friend of the program. He's at 7:45. Larry Riley, former GM of the Golden State Warriors, at 8:05. Jerry Rice made a couple plays in his day. He's at 8:45. Dave Stewart, three-time World Series champ, at 9:10. Brian Sabian at 9:30. And then the big moment, Jolo and Dibs coming together, hopefully, to agree upon our show's greatest Bay Area sports moment of all time. I've now laid everything out. I need a breath of fresh air. Dibs, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. I'm excited. I'm more excited than I thought I would be. I was going to look forward to this no matter what, just because it is a unique show. And for me, it's fun when the whole station lines up behind one singular idea, especially when we get to go first, because we can set the template. Like you said in the email this morning, it'll be a little bit loosey-goosey off the top, and then we're going to go through and just start picking and popping teams, moments. The guests will come on and provide great color and real live memories of what actually took place. And then I am also looking forward to seeing how the three of us and the callers, the texters, our great producer, our wonderful board op, quote-unquote, and the board op's in quotes, not wonderful. Everyone will give their input, and then we'll come to a decision, and then we will slot in the first moment in the George Washington slot on the Rushmore, and then the other shows can go through their process and pick up the pieces accordingly. So I don't want to steal from Guru too early, Joe, but I'm excited.
We are working on the Big Grilled Cheese's connection. You haven't heard from him yet because we got a couple tech things going on. Don't worry. They're all going to get sorted out. And then we're going to bring him into the show. And you're going to get to hear all the great things that the Big Grilled Cheese has to say, as you get to do each and every day here on Jolo and Dibs 95.7 The Game. Dibs, we could also just completely tank the whole thing. We could talk about all the great moments, pick the most random, obscure, meaningless moment in Bay Area sports history. We could unanimously vote on that. And then tomorrow's Saturday. We're out the door. Everyone else can deal with it. So you could have a Rushmore where Bonte, Steiny, and Guru might pick the catch. Right. And Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky might pick the drafting of Steph Curry. And Covey and Butcher Boy could pick whatever the hell they do in the evening. Who knows? But your Bay Area sports moments could be three great moments from those shows, and then us picking, you know, Bet 162 losing game number 85 last year in a 5-4 route. On behalf of the Giants versus whoever the hell they played. So that's also in play here, too. No one ever told us we had to take it seriously, so this thing could go off the rails, but it won't. We kid. What I was thinking is that at any point, the three of us can reveal where we're leaning. But what we'll do most likely is kind of kick everything around. I came in today hoping that I have a moment, and at 7:15, that's when I'm going to reveal it. I want to go through all the teams, the great moments, 7:15. I think we kind of lay out where each of us is. And then we go to Mad Dog Russo and the guests. We start to get the feedback. We listen. We listen to each other. We listen to the guests, and we open our minds to change. So I'm coming in with a pick, so I have something to discuss. But at the same time, not married to it, I can be persuaded.
I'm trying to have the same mindset, because yesterday you actually said, 7:15 or so, you were going to reveal where you were. And not until then, you were going to kind of lay out. And I'll probably tip my hand ahead of that, but much like you were just saying, I do want to keep my mind open, especially when you look at the guests and you've got, Carmen Policy and Brian Sabian, you got the GOAT Jerry Rice, people who were a a little bit closer to these moments than you and I certainly were. And it'll be great to hear which ones stand out for them, because as you were mentioning, like the Giants, for example, 4 or 5 pop into your head immediately. The A's, 3, 4, 5, just boom, they pop right in. The Niners, obviously. And even outside the big sports, we need to remember the miscellany of, you know, the play. You talked about the catch before, the play, Cal Stanford, and what the ramifications were of that for John Elway and both teams, et cetera, the axe and all that. So outside of the big sports, when you start to think about how many moments could be, we're lucky in the Bay Area that you could do a top 25 moments and still have some left on the cutting room floor.
No doubt. Very well said. And I can hear heavy breathing in my headset, which can mean only one thing. We do have the big grilled cheese on the line. How you doing, Lo?
Hey, I'm great, guys. Great. I've just been listening to you guys, you know, spew all this, what's going to be the greatest moment? How many great moments do you have? And you're right, Daniel. It's so many great moments. And it's going to be tough to define a great moment because we look at everyone's going to talk about the catch. We understand. But was Terry Kirby's run where he goes 90-some yards and runs through freaking how many people to get in the end zone? Steve Young's unbelievable run with the helmet off against Minnesota. I mean, those aren't going to have a chance, but you think about how was that a play or the play, a moment that was probably bigger than a lot of these different moments that's probably going to be at the top. I mean, the infamous dibs that you walk out of the stadium and you miss Navarro Bowman, take that pick six back. I mean, there's so many moments that probably won't even make the top five, but they were moments that undoubtedly that you look and say, oh my goodness, where was that not unbelievable?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to disregard the prop dusting there. And,
at 6:06, you're just burning through everything. As opposed to maybe, oh, I don't know, glancing at the rundown where we were going to kind of lay out how this was going to go. You come in late, you come in hot, and you just start torching it. That's good, Lo. On brand.
Let me ask you this as we try to bring it back on track. What makes a moment great? What makes a moment great? I think we can get bogged down in the nuance of moments, right? Because I'm going to tell you right out of the gate, if someone comes to me today and says Madison Bumgarner's performance against Kansas City, that's the greatest moment of all time. Which moment? He was in there for multiple innings, making multiple pitches. A lot of other players were involved. Not right. Saying that can't be up for discussion, but does that count as a moment? Also, Baron Davis's dunk over Andrei Kirilenko. What a moment. But it was in the second round of the playoffs? Does that take precedence over the Super Bowl, over the NBA Finals? Lo, how do we define greatness?
That's my whole point. I don't understand. This is going to be very, very tough. It's going to be very, very skewed because I think people are going to define a moment and then say, what was at stake? What was it? Because did it make it a bigger moment because it was 3 seconds left? The Music City Miracle, was that an unbelievable moment because
it's a wild card game, wasn't it?
No.
Hold on. Wild card games every year. The Texans are in the wild card game every year, right?
Don't poo-poo on it. Is that moment bigger if that happens at the beginning of the game than it does at the ending? You see what I'm saying? So I think that moments are going to have to be defined at the critical time of when did it happen, because you do that at the beginning of the game, that's a cute play. A little razzle-dazzle here.
Right.
But you do it at the end of the game with hardly no time on the clock, then it changes the perspective, makes the moment bigger than what it really was. So
I love that.
It's really tough.
I love that. Thank you. Steph hits a 3-pointer in the opening minute of the game, all right, it's a great three. If he hits a three to win it, it's going to be remembered, but it's the exact same thing. It's a 3-point shot. There's nothing different about it. It just happened at a different point in time, and thus it has more weight. All right, let that marinate a bit because we need to dive more into that. How do we want to define it? We're blowing through commercial breaks today. All right, we're blowing through. We're not just going to have tons of commercials today. We're not doing it. We're coming back. We're going to do like 30 straight minutes. We're going to establish the ground rules. We want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. That's the number for the text line. That's the number for the phone line. And we're going to start to get into the greatest baseball moments of all time. Giants and A's. Joe Lo and Dibs. Back with all of that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
Game, wait for it, changer.
On 95.7 The Game.
This segment is presented to you by us, courtesy of Golden State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some of the locations actually open on Saturdays as well. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. The phone lines and the text lines are open all day. It's the same number. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. What are the greatest sports moments in Bay Area history? That is what this show is tasked with figuring out today, as well as all the other shows. We each have to come up with one. They're all going to be different. We are creating the Rushmore. We right now are easing into the hot tub, as we like to do here on Joe Lowe and Dibs. We're not going to come out blazing, throwing takes all over the place with no form or regulation whatsoever. We need to establish rules. What makes a moment great? We've had no hitters. We've had perfect games. We've had memorable home runs. That stuff didn't happen on the biggest stage. Does that matter to you? 888-957-9570. Let's get into that, and then we'll dive into some baseball. How are each of you weighting the following two components? Number one, whether it's a very singular moment, a pitch, a hit, one singular play, one singular shot, or say, for example, We Believe, which was a series of games. It was an upset. How do you weight the one singular moment, we'll start with this question, Dibs, versus a situation that could have been a series of moments, like Bumgarner coming in Game 7? Do you give more weight to one over the other?
Yeah, I'm giving more weight to just the one moment, because it's kind of, I think, what we're focusing on as a station. Because you mentioned it earlier, Bumgarner came in and he got 16 outs in Game 7 against Kansas City, 5 1/3. So which of those 16 outs was the biggest moment? Maybe it's the final out of the game. I think Sandoval and foul ground corrals it. They win their third title. That's a great moment. So for me, to look at the totality of the performance from Bumgarner is not a moment. It doesn't necessarily qualify, but that last out. Now, if that's a moment you want to inject in there, then that moment to me is the one that comes up. To your We Believe analogy, you know, the whole run of We Believe, the 8 seed over the 1 seed and all that, that was a series of moments. So for me, I'm focusing more on, like you were saying, and I think what the point of this is, and I think Lowe said it as well, just the moments, which is the big play, which moment is going to be the grandest. So I'm going to lean that way.
Very interesting. Lowe, do you agree? The Claymaker performance, the anniversary, 4-year anniversary, was yesterday. We love the Claymaker performance, but it wasn't just one shot. Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant know that all too well. It was a series of big shots he made in that game. Do you weight one singular moment differently than you do perhaps a series of moments?
It's hard to, but sometimes you have to because of the outcome. But the outcome couldn't be an outcome if it wasn't those moments leading up to that big moment once again. So
I'm agreeing. So I like it. It's very profound.
I know. Well, anyway, so I do agree with Daniel on this particular incident, this particular take of how we're going to define the moment.
You know what? This is big news because it looks like a clean sweep. I lean the same way. I think if you come to me today and you throw a no-hitter or a perfect game at me, I'm going to say, all right, that might be the greatest performance in Bay Area sports history. But in terms of a singular moment, I don't know if I'm going to get on board with that. I think there are singular moments out there that may be more important. And based on the way this is defined, look at us. We're like lawyers. We're all sorting through this very well. So I think we're working towards what could be a unanimous vote at some point. I'm very, very excited. I actually looked at the notes today. I thought to myself, we're going to finish with Brian Sabian at 9:30, and then we've got to pick the moment. I could see the show ending and we don't pick it. That would be very on brand for this show, that we fight right up until the buzzer. We don't actually establish anything. And then we disconnect and we go about our business this weekend, leaving the station to figure out what to do next. So far, so good. Now, Lowe, I'll start with you on this one. How do you weight the moment in terms of when it occurs? There are great regular season moments. There are great playoff moments. And then there are championship moments, right? Like a game 5 versus a game 7. A wild card game versus a Super Bowl, a divisional round series versus the World Series. You see what I'm saying? How have you distinguished between that? Does it matter more to you if it's on a grander stage?
It has to, because when we always talk about when the lights are the brightest, that's when the stars really shine and you get to see who's really a superstar. I think there's a moment that that's on our list that everyone's going to talk about. And I still remember it like vividly, like yesterday. Kevin Durant comes here playing against the Cavs. LeBron's not playing tight defense. Kevin comes down and sees that he's playing off. That moment right there, that was the dagger that you said, if they had, because if the Cavs could have gotten a stop, if something could have, the game was still in the balance. It still was in the balance. It still wasn't just one. It still wasn't determined. So I think that was a moment. So I think it's got to be closer to the end, or it was getting ready to you know, closing time, is for lack of a better word. I think so, yes.
Closing time.
Very nice. Thank
you. I hate that song. It's going to be in my head all day. I hate you, Lo. I hate you for saying that and making me think that. Don't applaud that. I hate that song.
Fairness,
hate it.
Whiskey and beer.
Hey, no. Don't you dare come at me with Eddie Vedder voice. Do not give that song Eddie Vedder voice. Definitely. If you want to do Eddie Vedder voice, you put some damn respect on Eddie Vedder voice. You know, I don't even know who that band is that sang Closing Time. Okay? Don't you dare put Eddie Vedder voice on that song.
Those moments, Joe. Someone said,
what are we talking about? Like, what's this show about today?
Yeah, exactly.
Greatest Eddie Vedder songs.
Yeah. The championships, definitely, you got to put a little bit more weight on it, Daniel.
All right, I like it. Dibs, are you thinking the same thing there?
When it comes down to, for like me, for tiebreaker purposes, because what was that, Lo?
No, I just said, of course you are. Nothing.
You're so far off the mic, I can't really hear you.
I didn't say.
Dibs, you're doing great. Everyone's doing great. Let's stay focused today.
I'm just trying to help him to be able to cut through the noise to be able to accurately take a shot at me. You need to be on mic.
I didn't take a shot on you.
What you were doing?
Shirtless. Good to see
you. Yeah. Now you go shirtless.
Zoom.
Go ahead.
No, he's
a rip.
He's
not
a
rip, big
fella. He wants to hear from you just like I do. Are you in his camp as he now disconnects from Zoom? Thank
Correct.
You. I didn't want to see you shirtless for the 33rd day in a row. Championship level versus, say, regular season versus, say, the Baron Davis dunk. Again, we're going to come back to that all day. I want to play that audio like 50 times today. But second round of the playoffs. Do you weight that differently versus the regular season versus the finals?
As I was mentioning before, I was so rudely interrupted off mic and shirtless. Is to me, it comes down to that being more of a tiebreaker when you look at the great moments. The fact that Barron dunks on Kirilenko, they're up by 20 in the second round of a series that they would go on to lose. Now, does that diminish from the moment? Absolutely not. It's one of the greatest moments in Bay Area sports history, in my opinion. But when you compare that with other moments, the play, which was a walk-off kick return to win the biggest rivalry in Bay Area college football, for example, that moment is bigger in that game than the Barron dunk was. So as you start to pick through it, in my opinion, and you're comparing moments, you look at the Travis Ishikawa walk-off home run. That's a walk-off home run to eliminate a team. That's as big a moment as you can find in all of sports. So for me, that's where it becomes a tiebreaker. What was the actual moment of the game like?
Okay, very interesting. Now, we're going to do the Warriors in the next segment, but because we danced around it enough and it's got the hair standing up on my arm, it might be my favorite audio of all time. Nice guy, could you please play the Baron Davis dunk over AK-47?
Getting the basketball, because a lot of good things will happen, not just with him scoring, but then also an open up.
Oh, man!
Hello.
Timeout in Barron's house.
Shout out ABC for the audio. Now, if today's topic was greatest audio moments in Bay Area sports history, just announcers and things of that nature, that might get my vote. I get chills from that every day, every time. I honestly think if we just played that on a loop for 4 hours, it would do better ratings than anything we could bring to the table. I hate to say it, but I really do believe that. I'm with you guys. I'm trying to weight these situations against one another the same as you are. The same as you are. I think a big play in a Super Bowl is much more important than a big play in week 6 of the NFL regular season. But at the same time, it's the same thing, right? If it's a 4th-and-10 conversion to extend a game-winning drive, what does it matter if it's a Super Bowl versus week 6? It's the same thing, but there's just more weight on the game being played later in the season. Somehow, I buy into that. And I think most people buy into that. I also buy into the idea of a singular moment versus a series of moments. I want to sit here and say Bumgarner's performance in Game 7, that's right at the top of the list. But it's a series of moments. Which one do you pick? We're going to talk about Timmy Lincecum today. We're going to talk about Matt Cain. Those are perfect games. Those are no-hitters. What's the one moment that stands out? Lincecum no-hit the Padres twice. It's the Padres. Am I supposed to give more weight to that versus Matt Cain's perfect game? I don't know. That's why we discuss low. Yes, you may.
I think that we have to be careful when we start this, because there's going to be some times in here that we might talk about a moment, but moments, is moments excitement or is it outcome? Because Because there can be a moment that wins the game, but there can be excitement for something else that happened. So I think that just like when Baron Davis, that was excitement. It was excitement because of what he did. That didn't determine the outcome of the game. Follow me here. The big game. If I said one play that really defines Kittle, what play last year?
Saints.
But did that play win the game? Who kicked the? And then what happened? They didn't score a touchdown. Who ended up coming on the field and kicked the game-winning field goal to win that? So see, my point that I made.
Robbie Gould doesn't get nearly enough love for what happened in that Saints game. I don't know if I've ever even mentioned Gould's performance in that game.
We haven't. We don't mention it. So, but that was, we don't talk about it. That was the game winner. That was the game. Why aren't we, so I'm is emotions and something that had excitement to it bigger than the outcome? Dibs, for you to back away from the mic and do the way that you did, that I just don't understand that this morning. It's Friday. We're trying to make good radio, and this is what I get from you this morning.
For you to out me for my nonverbal disgust at your flimsy take is not being a very good teammate. You could have allowed me to come onto the mic and debride you and basically berate you, but instead you chose to out my nonverbal disgust at that flimsy take. You made almost a good point, but you missed out because we're talking about moments. And the George Kittle moment, I apologize to Robbie Gould and his entire family, but the Kittle moment was bigger than a kicker trotting out and kicking a chippy to win the game. So
well,
that's
if he
where
misses
you and I
that,
are going to differ.
We can disagree, but Joe, please. Good. If Gould misses that, how big of a moment is that? How kind of a moment would that have been?
Let me tell you something. You're exactly right. Kittle's play, if that game ends in a missed field goal and the Niners do not win, that George Kittle's play is not held up in nearly as high regard as it is now because they won that game. You're exactly right. I'm going to bring in something from, I'm not going to say my childhood, but from when I was younger as an Eagle fan, 4th and 26. Everyone in Philadelphia knows 4th and 26. It was the play Freddie Mitchell showed up and made the one play of his career against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs at Lincoln Financial Field. He catches that pass. The Eagles go on to win the game, 4th and 26. But the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl. So 4th and 26 is like, it's a great play. We remember it, but it didn't lead to anything. Meanwhile, Philly Special helps them go on to win the Super Bowl, right? Does it make the play better? Does it make the situation better? Does it make the moment count for that much more? That was earlier in the game. The game wasn't on the line there. They could have blown that and still gone on to win it. But because they win the Super Bowl, that goes down as an all-time iconic play. So this is the stuff we need to sort through. I love this. This is a great debate between three individuals trying to find their way to define the rules. I don't think any other show is going to spend this much time trying to at least define the situation. So we're about 30 minutes in. Let's dip our toes in the water. Let's start with baseball. Just right off the top of your head. You're thinking Giants baseball. What are the great moments you come away with? I'm not saying we need to establish the number one greatest moment in San Francisco Giants Bay Area sports history. But if you're thinking about the Giants and you're trying to at least bring a pool of plays together so we can narrow it down, what jumps off the page at you?
Well, for me, it's the Travis Ishikawa walk-off home run. It's one of the first ones that I think of just because of what we're talking about, which is the moment. He's in a situation where a home run wins it at home, walk-off situation, eliminating St. Louis. It was an incredible moment, especially when, for me, you think about where Travis had come from. And we had him on the show about a month or so ago, and Joe, you were introducing him as a former first baseman, former outfielder, and he kind of had a laugh because you forget that he only played outfield a small handful of times, and at that time when he came back to the Giants, he was not expected to do anything. So for me, that Ishikawa walk-off moment is one of the biggest ones, I think, in Giants history.
Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking and no compromises. Nice guy. If you'd be so kind, could we hear the Travis Ishikawa home run?
Travis Ishikawa hits one into right. The Giants win the pennant.
Shout Shout out Fox for the audio. Shout out Joe Buck. He just hates the Giants so much. You can hear it in his voice as he makes this call. Nice guy. Play it one more time. But this time, I want everyone to focus on Joe Buck's just utter and absolute disdain for the San Francisco Giants.
Travis Ishikawa hits one into right. The Giants win.
Oh, that Joe Buck. He just hates everybody. Again, it's sarcasm. Love Joe Buck. We've had him on this show. Every single fan base seems to think that Joe Buck hates their team. He doesn't. He's a broadcaster. Guy's making millions of dollars a year. You think he hates your team? He loves his job. He's going to go nuts for plays like that, which is what he did right there. Dibs, that's a hell of a play. Not a World Series play, but right. A hell of a play. Plus, it's not as if that series was knotted up. What was the situation there? Were the Giants up 3-1 or something like that?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. How do you weight that? Lo, you're thinking about the San Francisco Giants. Does anything pop to mind immediately? Not saying it's the number one play of all time, but what pops to mind? What simmers on top of the grilled cheese?
You know what? It's amazing. A person got paid millions and millions of dollars, and I think he's always going to be a Giant. I think if you look at what he was able to do, and it was moments. And that's the Panda. I mean, think about what Panda did. Three homers. The way that guy played was... I think that that's got to be a moment that you're like, oh my God, this guy, here's a guy that, you know, was just a player, but that particular World Series, that particular playoff run, I mean, those moments he gave us were unprecedented, unreal.
And he, in the final World Series run, set an MLB record for most hits in a postseason. He was absolutely incredible. Him and Bumgarner throughout the course of that postseason. Let's go to the phones. We're taking calls all day. Jay in San Francisco. Jay, welcome to the show. Entire day dedicated to the greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. A little bit of a focus right now on baseball, but we're willing to take anything you got. What are you thinking, Jay in San Francisco? Hey, I like Jay. That play. I also wrote that. Do we have him? Run him. Don't run him. Quietly. Let him know that a better connection plus a voice could be helpful with the phone call. We don't run anyone on this program. I find it interesting. I go to Dibs. I ask him for a Giants play. Doesn't have to be the definitive one, but what's he thinking? Go to Lowe. Ask him. I come to myself. I'm staring at Barry Bonds setting the all-time record for home runs. August 7th, 2007 against the Nationals at AT&T Park. Mike Bassick, basic, however you pronounce it, doesn't matter. He was one of several people that served up meatballs to Bonds throughout the course of his career. How does that not get mentioned, right? That's not the World Series. That's not even the playoffs. But Bonds is passing Hank Aaron for the most home runs all time. In my opinion, it's the most iconic record in professional sports. The home run king. Stats in baseball seem to mean more than stats in any other sport. I'm cool with that. Bonds passing Aaron. Watching that shot, thinking about where you were when it happened, tracking the days as Bonds led up to that moment. Think about the power, and the word Lola loves to use, the gravitas of that moment. It doesn't matter who the opponent was. It doesn't matter who the pitcher was. It doesn't matter when it happened. It was the most meaningless of regular season games. Does anyone remember what the Giants even did that year? Did they go on to go on a glorious run? No, none of that. But you remember that moment. It was that powerful because it meant that much, not only to the individual, to the team, to the game, to the sport, to the entire sports landscape. The greatest of all time to go out there and smash that home run. Now, you can argue Bonds' place in history. That's fine. You can argue the methods of when and how he went about doing it. That's fine, too. But the fact remains, he passed Hank Aaron. He stands as the all-time home run record holder. And that right there, to me, how do you stack that up against Lincecum? How do you stack it up against Kane? How do you stack it up against the World Series? World Series is a ton of guys working together through 162 games and then the playoffs. The World Series are great, but there's not one singular moment. You mentioned Ishikawa. They were up 3-1, right? Yeah. If he doesn't hit that home run, they can still very much come back the next night. They can still very much come back the next inning to win that game. But Bonds, that moment, all the work that went into it, hitting that home run, I mean, San Francisco... You're on the map for so many great things. You hosted the the home run that broke the all-time record. Where do you put that on the list? I mean, it's got to be on the giant Rushmore at least, does it not?
Yeah, it's up there. And I think part of it for me, which makes me pause before just anointing it as the great Giants moment, is remembering what was going on around baseball at the time, all of the fact that this record was being chased and he was being dogged by the steroid allegations and all that. So I don't think that baseball America, I know locally here, people embraced it much more, but it had a little bit of a dampening effect to me just because of all of the stipulations and all the scrutiny nationally. It's a great moment, but I don't think that I would put that at the top of Giants moments, but certainly his home run and the one, you know, the 73rd and the other record, the one you played yesterday where he passed Babe Ruth, those are all monster moments.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, and this is where I differ too, because it was a huge moment. And I know Dibs might think that, oh, nationally, what was going on? That must even make it that much more of a moment. Why? Because look what baseball was at that time. Look years before when Sosa and McGuire goes on his heater and look what they were doing. People would stop wherever they were at, work, coming home, watching, keeping up. They would break. And even when day games, you would flash over TV, whatever's on, whatever show was on. They would go to watch these guys hit home runs. So we talk about it, and people knew what was going on still. They knew what behind it. It was still, you look at with Barry Bonds, you look at it, they don't think it was a big deal. It wasn't just here in San Francisco, Joe. It was everywhere that he went that people would go to the ballpark to watch Barry Bonds continue to break records. So it wasn't just a San Francisco thing. It was globally. It was, so when you locked Sosa McGuire, it wasn't just at their prospective stadiums. When they traveled, people would go. They wanted to be in the ballpark to see these guys. So I look at the home run. People did put a lot of value on it, regardless of all the skeletons and everything else that was surrounding these guys. People showed up to the ballpark. Look at Lance Armstrong. It didn't matter. People showed up to watch greatness no matter what they were doing. Afterwards, the smoke cleared, and yeah, they all got black eyes. But when you talk about doing those moments, there were none like them.
All right, let's wait them. Let's wait two home runs. Both are the exact same thing. They're home runs. It's a batter using a bat, a piece of wood, to knock a baseball over a fence and then trot around the bases. Talking about Bonds passing Hank Aaron versus what happened on September 4th, 2002. Scott Hatteberg and the 20th win in a row for the Oakland Athletics. Nice guy, if you'd be so kind as to tee up Scott Hatteberg, please.
Swung on, fly ball, deep right field. They let an 11-run lead get away. And in the bottom of the ninth, Scott Hatteberg comes up and hits a bomb to right field for the game-winning home run. The Oakland A's have set a new American League record with their 20th consecutive win. And this is a game nobody here will ever forget.
Shout out MLB.com for the audio. So how do you weight the two? Bonds passing Hank Aaron is a moment of singular greatness. It's an individual accomplishing something that, sure, it helps the team. Sure, he was wearing San Francisco Giants gear when he did it. But what does it mean in the pantheon of great Giants moments? Meanwhile, Hatteberg, nowhere near the player Bonds was. Yet they made a movie about this. Why? 20 straight wins. This was a game with an 11-run lead. They let it get away, and then Hatteberg shows up in the ninth to win it with that home run. Do you weight that home run, Dibs, with more or greater value than the Bonds home run?
I put it right alongside because of the things you just laid out. And for me, the fact that it was memorialized in a movie, and it's the crux of the entire film, and you have actual footage, and the fact that they blew an 11-run lead in that game, and it was 20 straight victories, and all of the mythology that goes alongside it, because like you were saying before about the Bonds home run, they didn't go on to win the World Series. They didn't go on a great run. The A's won 20 in a row, and that was the high watermark of the season. But still, the Hatteberg homer, the fact that it was captured in a movie, puts that, to me, among the top moments in A's history automatically.
Lo, what are you thinking? Are you in agreement there?
No, we're not in the same church, nor we're in the same pew. When you look at certain things that happen, even with team sports, people are more trying to talk about who was the greatest. When you talk about necessarily organizations and franchises, it's not necessarily about It's not about necessarily Patriots. What do everyone talk about? Tom Brady. You talk about, even when you talk about the Niners, when their dynasty, people try to say, who was great? Jerry Rice, you know, Joe Montana. Hattiesburg, dude, anyone really know? Yeah, they made a movie. You don't think if you said, okay, let's put that movie out and let's put a movie about Barry Bonds. Which one's going to be the box seller? Which one everyone's going to go want to watch if you're talking about making a movie about his life or compared to that Hattiesburg home run for game 20 in a row? Hell, who really even cared about it when it's like that? So when you know that who has the most, it's the individuals. For some reason, Dibs, you know it. More weight is about individuals than teams on a lot of different times.
Very interesting.
I guess you could have seen this coming. You slurping a star. It's something that happens each and every day on this very program. So that doesn't really stun me. Joe, if I said the name Frank Reich to you, what do you think of first and foremost? Maybe secondly, because now that he's a head coach. But you think about 35-3 and the greatest comeback in postseason history. Now, I don't believe the Buffalo went on to win the Super Bowl that year, but the Frank Reich comeback is a singular, standalone, great half of football in the NFL history. And that's where Scott Hattiesburg is in the same vein. I did not say that Hattiesburg's life story would be better than Barry Bonds, and that's what we have to watch. But just talking about moments, the moment where he hits a home run after blowing an 11-run lead to win 20 straight, that is a special moment regardless of who did it.
I like it. Great cases are being made on both sides. Great cases are being made on both sides. I got to dock Dibs, because when you say Frank Reich, everyone knows you think offensive coordinator Philadelphia Eagles when they won the Super Bowl and executed Philly Special. We all know that. That is what comes to mind when you think Frank Reich.
Sure.
No one thinks about that. I don't even know if anyone actually knows that, and I don't blame you for not knowing it. Now, I'm looking at Steve. I'm looking at Sean. I'm looking at Thomas. I'm looking at Jerry. Phone lines are juiced. You got great stuff coming. So what we're going to do is, rather than force you in here at the end, I want to give you guys all the time in the world to help contribute to today's show. Today is a station, the greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. Each show has to come up with a different moment. We are creating the Rushmore. You are a very large part of this. Today, I'm not even announcing what I'm thinking until 7:15. I came in with an idea of where I wanted to go, but I want to listen. First time in Joe Formball's life, he's coming out. He's listening to the people. He's actually going to open his ears. I use Q-tips all morning to clear out the earwax because I want to hear what you have to say. The number's 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line is the same, 888-957-9570. We're going to you next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs, naming the greatest moments in Bay Area sports history on 95.7 The Game.
This segment right here is presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday as well. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. You heard the voice of whoever the hell that was about 10 seconds ago telling you exactly what we're doing today. Greatest sports moments in Bay Area history. Each show is tasked with coming up with their own. We haven't even announced where we're leaning yet. That's how much thought we put into this. Easing into the hot tub, discussing criteria, wanting to hear from the listeners, which is exactly where we're going right now. And oh, by the way, bringing on a heck of a lot of guests to give us their thoughts as well. Chris Mad Dog Russo at 7:30. Carmen Policy at 7:45. Larry Riley at 8:05. Jerry Rice at 8:45, Dave Stewart at 9:10, Brian Sabian at 9:30, after which we will make our official announcement. I don't know what Dibs is thinking. I don't know what Lowe's thinking. They don't know what I'm thinking. We have not shared our moments with each other. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk them out, and then we're all going to come to some sort of agreement. Hopefully. There's no guarantees on that. The show could just end and we don't even make a pick. That could be exactly where we're headed. But let's go to the callers right now. Thank you all for waiting very patiently. Let's start with Thomas in San Francisco. Thomas, thank you for your time. Greatest sports moment in Bay Area history. What do you got for us?
I'd say the Cody Ross 2010 NLCS. That was what started the Giants series, you know, when they won the World Series.
Are you picking that as the best Giants moment, or do you like that as the best Bay Area sports moment?
I would say the best Giants moment.
Best Giants moment. What do you have in mind for the greatest Bay Area moment? What would top Cody Ross's home runs against Philadelphia, which I don't agree with it, but that's okay. We're taking all opinions today.
Well, I'm a huge Niagara fan, so I would say either Dwight Clark's catch or just recently Dre Greenlaw's stop at the goal line on Jake Hollister to get that number one seed in the playoffs.
Awesome. Thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it. Nice guy. Do you have any Cody Ross for the great people out there?
Here's the 1-1. That is hit well into left field. Back at the wall, and Cody Ross has gone deep to put the Giants on top. First hit against Halliday in the postseason is a home run, and Cody Ross has his second of the postseason for San Francisco. And he shoots one into left field. You called it, home run, his second of the night. A confident hitter, and he has gone deep twice. 2-1 San Francisco here in the fifth.
Shout out Fox for the audio. You could tell even Joe Buck wasn't that excited. Everyone was rooting for the Phillies that year. The Giants just ruined everything for everybody. You can even tell as you're listening to Joe Buck, he's like, you got to be kidding me. What a joke this is. I think we're all in agreement on that.
I am not in the same church or pew as you on this one there, Philly fan. And by the way, you forget that both of those were solo homers, and that second one, it was 2-1. You're going up against a Hall of Famer, Roy Halladay, rest in peace. Cody Ross, a guy who is obviously known around here as a legend because of those two at-bats to get a Hall of Famer. And remember, Roy Halladay at that time was so filthy. Joe, I don't have to tell you that, but... Cody Ross able to get him twice there low en route to their first championship.
Let me tell you something about that, by the way.
Please,
if you go out there anywhere in the Philadelphia area and you mention that name, it will invoke anger and hatred on behalf of every single individual. That's how big Cody Ross was. You can rank it however you want here. My mother never swears. You bring that game up, she'll say, expletive yeah. Cody Ross. Expletive Cody
really?
Ross. Oh, yeah. Carol Fornball, not a fan. She everybody there remembers Cody Ross. Phil's, the Giants were nothing. The Giants were nothing. They were not supposed to get in the way of the Phils. Two World Series appearances in a row. They were good. They had lost to the Yanks the year before. They had won the year before that. The Giants were nothing. Cody Ross, you bring that name up there, people hate him. People will vomit at the mere mention of the name Cody Ross. That is how big that game was. That is how big that performance was. The people on the other side will never forget. We'll never forget Cody Ross.
Hey, Joe, is Mama Duke's bigger fan than Papa Duke's? Just sports?
Depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about Philadelphia sports, yes. If we're talking about, say, the old man grew up on a farm right outside Penn State. Penn State fan.
Okay.
So if we're talking about Penn State football or college football, you go to him. If we're talking about anything Philadelphia related, we go to her. Very angry, like all Philadelphia fans. Angry with everything. Angry with everything. The Eagles could be up by 24 in the fourth, but if Peterson goes for it when he shouldn't go for it, here come the text messages. Fire the guy, run him out of town. And you don't run anybody. You know how we do. You don't run anybody.
Yeah.
So, that's where we are on that.
Talk about runs.
Oh, yeah. It's what is this idiot? What is this expletive idiot doing? What is this expletive idiot doing? It's like, calm down. They're up 17. It's week two. It's Jacksonville. Jaguars aren't coming back. Everything's fine. No, this guy's an idiot. This is going to matter when he gets to the playoffs. He's got to make the right decisions. And then, of course, he'll make a great decision later. No acknowledgement. Everybody's a bum. That's how it is there. Just be thankful you're not talking about those sports. Everybody's a bum in every moment. The fans believe they're responsible for all the championships. Trust me, very deluded town. Love it, but very diluted.
Ugh. Hey, Dibs. Today, what have you taken away from the things that I'm trying to get you to understand today? Just kind of where I'm at and where you're at. What are you taking away from this whole exercise that we're doing here?
From you, I've gotten no takeaways. 55 minutes in, I'm still waiting for that first takeaway. Thank you, Nick.
Lo, where are you leaning? I'm sure you've got a few in mind, but when you were trying to suss through all of this to get to your wherever you were going to be, what stood out? What take us through the process of putting the cheese inside the bread and then ultimately grilling it?
A guy that everyone said that wouldn't come here, and I said would come here and could come here, KD, when you think away that dagger he hit on LeBron, one of the greatest, probably if not the greatest basketball player on the planet, the way he hit that three and just stood there and held his hand up and just walked it, and you knew it was over, and you saw the Cavs just – that was friggin' cold-blooded. That one was unreal. And then I'd be remiss, man, Joe, if I didn't talk about the Claymaker game, though. And – what they did to OKC and the way in which he, there wasn't a particular moment, but that whole way in which he went about it, those moments to me are just like so embedded in my head. And the grilled cheese begins to melt when it's just when you think about those incidents, because they were so profound. And of course we know the catch is in there. So I got it narrowed down to about four of them, guys. I got it narrowed down to about four.
Okay, so there's one thing I want to bring up, and I'm not going to accuse you of thinking this. I'm just gonna throw it out there. It's gonna be a preemptive strike here.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
This is being defined as the greatest sports moments in Bay Area history, but there is no criteria that it has to be a good moment for a Bay Area sports team. So I'm really hoping, this is just a suggestion in the little suggestion box there, really hoping that when you get to your moment, it's not anything regarding LeBron James blocking Andre Iguodala or anything like that. I'm just gonna throw that out there. It'd be very fair, because we didn't say it had to be a good moment for Bay Area sports history. But I'm starting to think about where this could go. It's the first I thought of this all day, and I thought to myself, huh, I don't think Dibs or I would vote for it, so it wouldn't end up winning on the show. But it's not the LeBron block on Iggy, is it?
No, that one was there, Joe, in the way that, because, you know, Iggy's got a breakaway in how he grabs that and pins that against the backboard. That was a huge moment, and I think we all know that. I was thinking more of the teabag. because no, we talk about a moment that changed.
Damn, you're right.
I mean, if Draymond, this is all Dibs talks about, man, if Draymond doesn't do that, and you and Dibs are always, if Draymond doesn't, this, we wouldn't even have that teabagging moment. Could be a, Papa talked about, he teabagged him, Dibs. I mean,
you don't
that
have
was
to tell
a
me, kid, that was 35 minutes of me working middays.
I was in the car when that happened. I was going nuts.
That's, and you know, that's one of the all time great rants, but, I think you'd have to also look at what he did to Michael Beasley earlier in the playoffs. Everyone forgets that. The Warriors were losing a game, and he basically wrestle-slammed Beasley and got a flagrant one. And then there was the famous flail kick to the groin of Steven Adams. He received a flagrant for that as well. So all the points added up to where, when he got teabagged and lashed out, that's what put him over the top. So if we do worst moments in Bay Area sports history, maybe that's up there.
Oh, man. It would be so perfect. I almost kind of want it to happen when we start to reveal what we're thinking, that Lo, who loves to swing from you know what, actually picks that specific apparatus as the moment for when it was placed on Draymond Green's forehead. Of course, there was some there's some cloth, but it was very thin cloth protecting Draymond's head from skin to skin contact.
We can always have the worst moment. This is a great moment. Let's do that maybe a month from now. We can always get to the worst moment. Okay, Dibs, is that better?
We should tip it upside down and just do worst moments today and put ours up there. So the Rushmore is like three great Bay Area moments, and then LeBron's teabagging is up there as well.
Dibs, you teabagged him, Dibs.
If you do it, I might vote for it just to burn the whole thing down.
I wish we had that clip where Dibs and Papa's going at it. That was awesome.
Ugh. You forget Dibs is there. Dibs is just trying to get a word in. He's trying to come up for air.
Yeah, we were, quote, going at it. I dared to speak at the 26-minute mark.
Oh, yes. Man. 888-957-9570. Is Jerry in San Francisco? Is he still on the line? Do we have a better connection this time, nice guy?
Yeah, we do.
Let's put him through. Jerry in San Francisco, welcome to the show. Greatest Bay Area sports moments of all time. What do you got for us?
Sticking with the baseball thing, and since you were just talking about greatest sort of negative moments, I've got a negative one, I got a positive one. I'll go with the negative first.
Sure.
And that's before my time, but Stretch McCovey ripping it to second base and Bobby Richardson ending the World Series in 1962 has to be a huge moment in Bay Area baseball history because we lost. And on the positive side, my moment comes from the 2010 NLCS, just like the last caller. And not Cody Ross, but Brian Wilson. I think back then the three big words that Dwayne Kuiper defined the Giants with were Giants baseball, torture. And the closest the Giants came to losing in that title run was in that game six, where they were up 3-2 in the ninth. Brian Wilson's on, two men out. And Brian Wilson against Ryan Howard, he throws he throws strike three, but it's such a slow moment. The time you can see Buster Posey frame the pitch, and I had just this long moment to glance up at the umpire to see what he thought of it, and he just wrung him up. It was a long, long, stretched out moment. It was that's my moment. That's my good moment.
Thank you so much, Jerry. We appreciate the phone call. Nice guy. Could you give us a little bit of that if you don't mind?
3-2 pitch. Got him looking, and the Giants win the pennant. Strike three called, and Ryan Howard ends this night. And the Giants win at a final of 3-2.
Shout out Fox for the audio. And by the way, we're not going to spend all day talking about the NLCS from 2010. Be better. The team went on to win the World Series. We're not talking about...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.